Blog Talk Radio. I listen to everything, and not just to the music itself, but to the hearts behind it. Welcome, this is Val Oliver, and you're listening to Sunday Brunch, the first and last song on Creator's Parrot Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Now, this next song that's coming up is a dedication to the people of Haiti. They need it, and we need it. Heal This Land, by Tina Malia. We will heal this land. Again, I'm Val Oliver. This is Sunday Brunch, the first and the last song on Blog Talk Radio, Creator's Parrot Channel. You've just listened to Heal This Lamb by Tina Malia, and that is a dedication to Haiti, for the healing of Haiti, for the people, and for the country. And by the way, you can link to her site on CD Baby to get that the song and the entire CD, which is called The Silent Awakening. If you're on the Creator's Parrot home profile page on Blog Talk Radio, you'll see a long list of links. And in that list of links is Heal This Lamb, Tina Malia. So just click on that, and that will get you there. Or you can always Google Heal This Lamb, Tina Malia, and that will get you there as well. And again, welcome to Sunday Brunch. I want to just let you know quickly the different ways that you can connect to the show. If you'd like to call in and talk with me or talk with the guest today, please do dial area code 347-202-0238. Again, that's area code 347-202-0238. Or you can go to the show page and you will see a click to talk button, hopefully. Now, if you have a headset, a USB headset with a mic, you can plug that into your computer and press click to talk, and that way you don't have to dial in, so you can try it that way as well. I also want to let you know very quickly about a few of the links on the page. You can access Creator's Parrot blog. There are playlists on there that relate to the show and lots of news and updates. You can certainly connect also on Creator's Parrot channel, Creator's Parrot channel, which is on Facebook. And also, there's a lot of other little links there that you can check out and feel free to take a look at. And certainly call in if you have any questions or post a question in the chat room if you'd like. Okay, I'm going to move on and introduce special guest co-host for this show today. Our usual host, co-host, is Neil Alexander, and Neil's a working musician, so he has a gig today. Hey, Neil, if you're listening, and he couldn't be here, but what he has done is he has provided a special podcast from him to you and from him to me, so I won't miss you so badly, right, Neil? So we're going to play that a little bit later. So I'd like to introduce everybody to our guest co-host today, who is John Hansen of TI Window on Biz. Hello, John.
Hi, Val. How are you today?
I'm great. Listen, I'd like to welcome you. I'd like to welcome your listeners, your fans, and your supporters. Welcome.
Well, you know, I've got to say this. I'm delighted to be here. And you know, as we were talking in the virtual green room and when we talked earlier in the week, you know, we sort of had a chuckle between the two of us because the PI Window on Business is a business show, and I have, and I think you had commented when you saw my picture for the first time with the tie and the suspenders, the last thing you'd associate with that picture is hosting a show dealing with music. But you know what's interesting, and we had talked about this, is that as a writer, I've written a couple of books and lots of articles and posts, as you try to communicate and relate a particular situation or the emotion of something to readership. You know, that's what writing does. Well, music is very much the same way. And what fascinates me about the music industry is the different genres of how they reflect different eras, different times, different emotions and feelings that seem to come together so well, like that opening song that you played. I mean, you know, just listening to it, it was very expressive, wasn't it, with what's going on with Haiti, and a reminder to all of us that, you know, it creates an emotional sense in us that, you know, we have to do something, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That is exactly why I selected that particular song, because it did say so much of, I think, what many of us are hoping and wishing and wanting to happen over there. So I just thought it was perfect to play, and you got it. You nailed it right on the head, you know, the value of music, and in particular, you know, that particular song that was selected for Haiti. I'd like to give a quick shout out also to any BTR Block Talk Radio hosts that might be listening in today. Also to my friends on Facebook, to my Twitter followers, to people on IM Radio and Reverb Nation, family and friends. Again, I'd like to say hello. Now, speaking of Haiti, John, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play another dedication for the people of Haiti. And this one that I selected is actually a song that was written and produced by Georgie, our special guest for today, one of our special guests. So I'd like to go ahead and play that song. This is called Life Goes On. Now, I just uploaded it not too long ago, so I'm hoping that it's completely processed. So if nothing plays, we're just going to come right back to us, okay?
All right.
All right, let's go. Let's see. Life goes on. Of healing and loving energy to the people. Oh, I had my mic up. Okay, sorry about that. As I was saying, if that doesn't bring lots of healing and loving energy to the people of Haiti, to the island of Haiti, I don't know what will. And with that, Georgie Porgy, is it Porgy or Porgy? I just wanted to know. Are you there?
I'm here. It's Porgy. Val, you didn't have, you know, you had the mic on. You were just up. Tell the truth. You were up dancing and you were releasing. Hands were in the air, and you were letting it go. All right, Val. I'm happy. It's Sunday brunch.
Yes, darling, you must be a fly on the wall if you saw me, you know, up and dancing, you know, with my headset, taking my tush here. is that's exactly what I was doing, just feeling it and sending those vibes to the people of Haiti. So, yes,
and life will go on, and life will go on for them.
Yes, it will.
Life
yes,
will,
it will.
Life will go on.
Well, again, welcome to the show, Georgie. We're just going to get started, you know, having our conversation with you. And actually, John is going to ask you the first question, which every guest here gets asked the same first and the last question when
Hi,
they're
John,
on the show.
How are you?
Hey, Georgie,
I'm
fine. Listen, I am doing just fine. I've got to tell you something. I turned 50 last year, but I was up and dancing. And you had this one, right? I think I need a nap.
That's great.
Before I ask you the first question, to those in the listening audience who may not be familiar with Georgie to the degree that many are, he first hit the charts, and Georgie, if I miss something, please let me know. But you really first hit the charts in 1994, and then starting in 2002 with Love's Gonna Save the Day, which was written in response to 9/11, another crisis situation in the world. You've had five chart toppers, followed the 2002 with the 2003 hit, I Love, 2005, Sunshine, I Believe in 2007, and 2008, Can You Feel That Sound? So, I mean, it's safe to say you're a venerable presence in the industry, aren't you?
Yes, and it's actually earlier than that. I mean, I've had other records that were really big before that. It's just a lot of times different when you go on to the different discographies. Everybody's got different ones. But before that, I've had hits back in the 90s. I mean, literally 89 is when I put my first record out. And from there on, I've been very blessed that the records have completely – what really why they're not mentioned too much is I really did not know back then I was making music for my heart and for the people. That's what it was. And as I still do, but never knew the game and didn't know about the following the number one. So after we got into the business and understood the business and why you need to mark those things, then we started going back and going, wow, you know, even the earlier records went number one in different areas, you know. But I've been very fortunate once we got into the game and understood the business, did we finally start to see, okay, well, number one records on Billboard, you know, multiple, over five number one records on Billboard. And then we were able to go back and say, then we really went back and looked. And when we came back, we found out that I've had over 13 number one records in over 15 countries around the world pop. So, you know, when we really went back to do it, because when we, you know, when I started doing it, when I put out like my earlier records, you know, when I got my first deal with Warner Brothers, I hung up on them. I thought it was somebody playing a joke on me. That's how much it was about the music and really not about the business and just really understanding, just really wanting to get a song out there to the people. And it went on from there, and it built into something really beautiful. And I've been truly, with all that I've just said, very humbled and very blessed, because I've been very blessed to be able to do it. Some people are so fortunate to have one or two. I've been fortunate to have many, many number one records and toured the world, been everywhere around the world. So I've been very fortunate and very blessed.
Well, now, you know, Georgie, it's interesting because Chicago is home, if I'm correct, or at
yes,
least that's where you're from. And yes. So in terms of the music, what was the first song that you heard? What moved you or started you in the direction towards, again, what is a tremendous musical career and really having an impact and a reach on a global basis? What was that first poignant song that you heard that sort of clicked within you and moved you to say, this is what I want to do, this is the direction I want to start in?
Michael Jackson. And it's got to be Want to Be Starting Something. It's got to be that deep back. You know, if you're going to pinpoint, it wouldn't be just one song, because I love music. I'm a connoisseur of music. So it was that. It was the Stevie Wonder stuff. It was Earth, Wind, and Fire, Donna Summer. It's a lot. I mean, I could not just give it to one person, because I loved all music. And it was all of those great artists that made me go, I really, really want to do this. You know, I mean, it was within my heart from the beginning, you know. And it can go back before that. It can go to, you know, There Before the Grace of God, you know, if you go way back, you know, into the disco era, you know what I mean? So if there's records that have really had great points in my life that have made me go, I really want to do this, and I really want to do this, because remember, I came in as a DJ. I really, I was a DJ, meaning mixing on the radio, and I got onto radio, then I got my own show, and went from there. but it was always in my heart to make a record, and it was always in my heart to sing. But, you know, the whole fear of, you know, when you get out there to sing, it's like a shooting gallery. You just go back and forth and ding, 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 because there's nowhere to hide. As a DJ, you can always hide because you got to create a record, and you can pick the records and try to put together a great set that people will love. But when you get up to sing, it's, you only have your songs to sing, and you have to make people move the masses with those songs. So it was a hesitation in the beginning, but finally recorded my first single and put it out there. And then from being a DJ and being on the radio and stuff like that, it grew to the point where the record, when the first record went out, it was one of those things where all of a sudden people called me from different states. By the second and third record, they called me from different countries. And I'm just like, wow, this is really, people like what I'm doing. And it just grew and grew and grew. And it blossomed into something unbelievable. I mean, to know that you own, I mean, beyond the point of the of being an artist, I was blessed to own my own record label, production company, management company. So I was able to not only build a beautiful thing for myself, because it really started it for myself, but then all of a sudden to be able to share the gift and be able to help others and blossom other people. I mean, like, you know, I was able to remix Mary J. Blige's record and give her first number one pop record in England, and to remix Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, and to go back and remix, you know, all the rest of his record. I mean, I've done like almost four cuts for him. And so beyond the remixing and producing and writing and all the other artists that have been able to, you know, over the years come in and help and say, you know, they've approached me to, hey, can you help me with my career, and bringing life to a lot of different artists that have come along the way. So it's been a really incredible ride.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because you talked about, again, being a DJ, talking about the disco era, because isn't dance music historically at least has its origins with the disco era, and has the disco era and computerization came in, that's really where it started to gain in the latter 70s, where it really started to gain some momentum, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And honestly, that's, you know, it really is. If you really go back and listen to dance music today, they just switched the name because obviously people took the word disco took a negative connotation because of the era and everything around it. You know what I mean? Especially like when Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer blew up all the disco records in Wrigley, in Sox Park, I think it was, in White Sox Park in Chicago. It was this whole, you know, the disco versus everything else, because at one point everybody was playing. You know, you couldn't get away from it anywhere you went. You went to the club, you listened to the radio. It was all about dance music. So they went after, you know, when you go rise to the top, people will come for you no matter what you do in life. I don't care if you become the president of the United States or whatever you do in life, people raise people up, and then after they raise them, they try to tear them down. So they did that with the music. So then I think the industry took the labels off and just gave it the plain thing of dance music, and which it's still the same stuff. It really is. What's being played today all has, if you really listen to it, it still has the bass lines of back then. It has the soul and the funk of what disco brought to the table, you know what I mean? So nothing has changed to me. Yeah, everything changes, meaning beats change a little bit, and, you know, but the real deal about dance music is still the same. You can play Life Goes On right next to a Donna Summer record, and the floor would still hold together, and there would be no problem.
Well,
sorry, Belle, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, that's quite all right. I'm just listening and just chuckling, you know, thinking back to the disco days and some of the music that you mentioned, Georgie. And now you're from Chicago. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Born and raised. And I was thinking that I read somewhere that you were influenced a great deal by house music, Chicago house music. Is that correct?
Yes, now, it was. We basically took, to give you a little bit about house music was something that we took that Philly sound and the disco sound and kind of stripped it down a little bit and made it a little bit more raw and more for the club. And that was the emphasis of house music. Now, I'm sorry I interrupted your question, but I wanted to give a little bit of what really house music is.
Sure. Oh, no problem. And I think, you know, that's good for people that aren't familiar with house music at all, because there are people that totally missed, you know, those days of house music. And from what I can tell, house music is coming back. Is that correct?
Well, it's never left. It's just what it is. It's once again that label thing where, you know, where it's the same thing. Disco never left. House never left either. I mean, it's the bland. It's easier to put the word dance across it than to have different labels. It's you know, there always will be a sound that will come through and somebody will decide to label it, to make it their own. But if you really consider the old Philly sound, the disco sound, the sound of house music, it's all really under the genre of dance music. And it really all has the same elements. If you really, it's got funky bass lines, drums that really, really move you, that you can feel. People like to consider it the boom, boom music, but it isn't the boom, boom music. Yes, there's going to be, you know, where people have taken it and stripped it down. Like, say, a younger generation will come in and say, well, let's take all the vocals out of it and just leave a couple of little sounds on it, and they'll call it, they sped it up and they called it techno. But no matter how you flow through and everybody tries to give their own spin on it, it always comes back to the most important thing, and it's I always break it down like this with everybody. My nieces, who were not born when Gloria Gaynor was out, know I Will Survive. A great song with a great beat and great music will survive all time. And that is the point of, I think, dance music has always, people want to say it has resurgence. I just believe they never go anywhere. It's just, it's been there. It's just what becomes, what radio decides to throw down everybody's throat at the moment is what people makes people feel that something has disappeared. But, you know, I've been doing this now for a long time, and I'm still walking into now arenas. I just finished doing Brazil. Over 5,000 people showed up to hear me sing and to show up to an event like this. And, you know, it hasn't gone. And that's been going on. You know, I've had so many people come up to me like, yeah, it's really, you know, that style is not happening. I'm like, well, no, it's not happening for you. It hasn't stopped because, remember, the sound has become so global that, you know, it might be happening on one part of the country to the next part of the country. Just because one part or one state, it has lost its popularity on a pop level, it doesn't mean it's still very vibrant and very huge. And, you know, it's like all music. It comes up, it comes down. Gospel will have a moment where they're running. Oh, remember like the Latin explosion when they try to say the whole Ricky Martin thing. Ricky was there the whole time doing tours and still is there, even though when it's not the big thing right now. You know, they try to say, oh, Ricky's gone. No, Ricky's still out there touring and doing very, very well and putting out records. So it's just everything has its moment of great recognition and great visibility. And then it has its moments where it teeters off, but it's always been there. And yes, house music's having another gain at its visibility again. People are really starting to come to it again, and you see it in commercials again like crazy, and they're using it for car commercials, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, but like everything in life, everything comes in full circle.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, John, there's just two things I wanted to get in based upon something that he said, and then I'm going to defer to you. Georgie, just now you talked about the anthem I Will Survive and Gloria Gaynor. And also you talked about going to Brazil and traveling around the world, and John even brought up some of the your activities there. And as the ambassador of dance music, that is such a huge title. And I read that title somewhere, and, you know, listening to the music, I can understand that. And also, when I first heard Brand New Day, the first thing I thought was, this is a modern sort of day version of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. But it's done by Georgie Porgy, and it's not, you know, back from the day, but it is today. But I thought, my God, this is an anthem by the ambassador of divine music. And, you know, lyrics like somebody's calling for something new. Lyrics like someone has fallen and brokenhearted, too, and they need a healing. I mean, wow, Georgie, those lyrics are incredible. And then love is going to give us that brand new day. Where did you come up with that, Mr. Ambassador?
I basically came up with it because I, being blessed to go around the world consistently, you know, what's happening in Haiti today is going around the world. I've been to the Dominican Republic where I saw people living in tin huts, you know what I mean, and which is on the other side of Haiti. Or when I've been to just different parts of the world and been able to see this with my own eyes, it's my job, I felt at some point through the gift of music, is to lift people, to find ways to touch somebody in such a way. And Brand New Day was exactly about just life, the way we've been through it the last couple of years, the way people are losing their homes and the economy has hit everybody. And it's not in the United States. It just hit around the world that people have lost their homes and, you know, had to downsize and, you know, living in tents and all that other stuff. And I felt the titles come with ambassador, and why they, you know, given me that, which at first when they gave it to me, I was like, it was a chuckle. I was like, okay. But then after people kept on saying it over and over and over, I understood that it's because it's my responsibility, because when you've been given a gift and you've been blessed, you have to, it comes with great responsibility. So I felt that it was, you know, not the thing that I don't write party songs and feel good songs and love songs, but I also feel it's really important, because I've been blessed to do it, to make sure that I do the right thing so I can lift people in their down moments. So when you hear a Brand New Day telling you, you know, somebody's calling for something new, they need a healing, meaning, you know, they're going through it and they need their moment, and I want to reassure them and say, your Brand New Day is coming. It's tomorrow. When you wake up tomorrow, it'll be here. It's actually here now. If you accept it and you accept with, you know, the change of your destiny, you can do it, because the destiny that people try to put onto people is not always yours. It's somebody that's not yours. Your destiny is what God has for you. So my thing is, I've always been a firm believer of trying to push back. You know, there's a lot of negative forces in this world, and we people who have been given a voice to do it, and I'm not saying singing voice, but the voice to be able to push a message out there, need to push back.
Okay, great. John, are you there? Did you have a question? After your question, I think we'll go to listen to the song that we've been talking about, Brand New Day, but I know you had a question, John, so go ahead.
Well, you know, Georgie, you had an interesting comment there about, you know, whatever name tag you give it, the core or the heart remains the same. Like, you're talking about Gloria Gaynor, and the songs seem to be timeless. Like Georgie, they talk about the 80s being funk and hip-hop and house, and they talk about the 90s, the Euro house and techno and UK garage. And then, you know, you look at the 2000s being trance, snap music, and R&B. But regardless of what name it gives, what is that one element that keeps it consistent? Because, you know, there's a lot of subgenres, there's a lot of genres in there, but what you're saying is everything, there's some foundational elements of dance music. What are those?
To me, it's well, for dances, it would be a song, great hook. If you've ever stopped to think about dance music as a whole, even when we're not played on radio, remember, I Will Survive never hit radio. It was only being played in a club. And people left the clubs without nobody saying the song I just played was. So they didn't know the name of the artist. They didn't know what the artist looked like. They just heard a song, and they heard this great big hook. So to me, dance music, if you ask me, great rhythms meaning musical and melodically through the vocal and through the drum patterns and through the music. And then the biggest thing that I always believe is they deliver on the big hook. The big hook. When you hear my records, Life Goes On, it's a very big hook. It's hanging with you. So even if you don't know who made that record, you can go home and say, and then that goes on and on. You could sing it and go to the store and go, do you got that record? Or you can get on, well, now in our digital world, you can find, you know, go looking for, the record kept on saying Life Goes On, and type it in and Google it and find it. So that, to me, is what dance music is, no matter where you look at. It's always the big musical hook. Even when you go even to the trans area, the biggest trans records have the biggest melody hooks, music hooks. You know, which they play at every basketball game in the country now, constantly play it. So when you look at anything, it's always got the big, big hook that takes you home and makes you go, wow, I know that song. So that's the common denominator for dance to me.
Wow. Sort of like the people's kind of music, because you're right, it permeates all areas of society and sort of gets locked in there, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. Dance music, if you ever stop to think and really took a step back, it's in our commercials. It's at the gym when we go to work out. It is in the clubs when we go out on the weekends. It is everywhere. It is every single place. You can't get away from dance music. It really, if you stop, no matter how much the beings at radio tend to sometimes walk away from it, and when I say this commercial pop radio to decide to walk away from it, it's everywhere. Even when they're not doing it, and it's funny, when they came back now and they're all starting to play dance music again, it's like, you know, it's, they'll put the records back. It was, for a moment there, they would not play dance music or pop radio. They thought, oh, it's done. And it was so funny. One radio station in Miami decided to play a record. It's called the Calabria record, big dance record. They took an old house anthem and remixed and put it on. It was their number one most requested record for 10 weeks
wow.
in a row.
Mm, wow.
10 weeks. So it just to show how strong the music is, that no matter how much you try to put it down, it's never gone anywhere. It has its moments because of politics in music and politics in radio. But the sound, turn on a Claire commercial. It's in a Claire commercial, makeup commercial, TV, radio, it's on in a car. You know, it sold Toyotas, it sold Hyundais, it sold, and I mean, think about how many times you have turned around and it's always there. You go to a basketball game, they're playing it in the background, you know, to get the crowd revved up. It's dance music is, you know, I hate to say it, but music is God's heart, but he really leans towards dance music a lot. That's what I tell people. he really likes dance music. It really, you know, he has a little favorite there because it always, no matter what has happened with the sound, always there.
Now, you just introduced the politics of music there, Georgie, and this sort of is a nice segue into the Grammys, which is something that we're featuring today on the show. Now, I want to get clear. Now, how did you get on the Grammy ballot for voting? Did you actually participate in the voting, or how does that work?
Well, I have a dear good friend named Harry Towers who introduced me into the major Grammy committee down there. In L.A., and I was able to be on the overall overseeing committee for that, and then became a member because I'm a writer, and from there you get to vote. But having a label, I get to also nominate songs, because when you have your own label, you can go in and nominate songs into the thing. That doesn't mean they become the finals, but they get nominated into the entries, and it's the industry. It's just kind of like when you look at the I don't know if it's the Golden Globes, or I think it's the Golden Globes, where they get to the people within the industry nominate the movies. The same thing with us. We get to nominate the songs and put them in there. They get voted on then by all of the Grammy voting members. But the people that get to go into it, and that's because of the years of being in the industry and, you know, working hard and, you know, the remixes that I've done. And it's the discography. It's all the hard work that I put in that has paid a dividends where they've come and said, you know, we would love you to be a part of this. This is really important. So that's how that happens.
Okay, I see. And we are going to go to Brand New Day in a moment, but we haven't yet talked about your getting the distinction as being one of the top 10 DJs, dance club artists of the decade. Now, how did you feel about that? Who was the first person you shared that news with?
It was really... what happened was I got an email. I was at the airport waiting for a plane to leave Friday morning a few weeks ago, and I was going to Mexico to do a show. Mm-hmm. And I get an email from somebody congratulating me early in the morning. You know, congratulations, you've been nominated. You're not nominated. You've been put on by Billboard top 10 dance artists of the decade. And at first I looked at him like, oh, somebody just really is just having a good time with me. So it was like, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I get a call from Barbara Sobel. And she's like, how do you feel to be an artist of the decade? And I'm like, I said, what are you talking about? And she's like, Georgie, you didn't see it? I'm like, honestly, I'm at the airport. I said, I'm about to get on the plane. I said, I don't know what's going on. She said, Georgie, the top 10 dance artists of the decade came out, and you're in the top 10. Madonna, Beyonce, Rihanna, you, Enrique Iglesias,
Christine W. I couldn't remember all the people's names off the top of my head, and I was just like, come on. And then she sends me an email. So I click it open, and as I'm loading it, because I was on a BlackBerry, I load it, and it kind of loaded, but it didn't load all the way, and I look, and it said Little Wayne. And I'm like, that is not me, whatever. Somebody's just playing a joke. And then after that, it fully loaded, and then when I was reading the chart, I'm like, wow, it really happened. This is, you know, it's, and it was fun. A great story behind it is that I was a really incredible story behind it was that the Friday before I had done my food drive that I do every year, and we had raised a lot of food, and I stood up in front of all the people and said, you know what, because of what you guys have all done, you will be blessed for this. Your blessings are on the way. You guys turned around and you showed up, and we filled two vans to feed two different food pantries. We fed the battered women and children in Evanston, and then we did another food pantry on the north side of Chicago because we raised that much food, and it was an incredible night. I mean, all the big artists came in, Cece Peniston, Pepper Mache, and the list goes on of all the people came in to perform for me. And I was telling them how they're going to be blessed and rewarded, and then that was on a Sunday, and that Friday the list came out, and I really had a nice smile on me and said, okay, thank you. I got my little, you know, pat on the back for me doing something good as well. Because when I was talking to the people, I was saying about just what the rewards that they're going to get. And then I got a thing like that, which was incredible. And the beautiful part about that to me that touched me more than anything is to have Madonna at one and know that you're in the top 10 and know that she had millions and millions of dollars more than me to promote her, and to be on a major label, and to have a 10-year head start on me, over 10-year head start out of me, and I somehow caught up and got into the same area, within throwing distance of her. I said, you know, hard work does pay off, you know, it really works, and I tell people to work hard. I always tell people to work hard, and sometimes you say it, and you mean it, but, you know, you kind of say something, and then you finally see it come to you. And you go, okay, it does pay off. It really does. When you work hard and you steadfast to something, it shall reward you. And it rewarded me. So it's been a really, really, I mean, when I get these accolades, it's a beautiful thing. But this one put a really big smile on my face.
Well, so, congratulations. Sorry to interrupt you, Georgie.
No. I know you asked me who called. It was Barbara was one of the first people who called. And then after that, it was like the phones and stuff ringing. Even when I landed, I was like, oh, my God. So it was a great thing. It was honestly the most beautiful thing to see it happen.
Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations again. And, you know, Barbara's in the chat room, and she's your greatest fan in there as well, you know, saying that, you know, everything you've received is well-deserved and just plugging you away here. So she's a great manager, and I think it's wonderful that she was the first one to let you know as well. And I want to just take a moment and let people know what the call-in number is. One more time, it's area code 347-202-0238, if you'd like to talk to Georgie. And I think what we're going to do now is we're going to go to your song, Brand New Day, and give it a listen to and enjoy it, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Change.
everyone could just, you know, sit on their tush while that song's going on. It's just so high energy. Wonderful song, Georgie. I am definitely calling you Mr. Ambassador. You know, I like that title for you.
I've got to go get some ice because I've got to go get some ice because I think I pulled a few muscles that I haven't used in years.
Well, yes, go ahead and put some ice on those muscles. You know, actually, there's one more song that we have to play. We have time. Now, Georgie, is there anything, you know, special that you want to say or you want to talk about? Any projects coming up for you? Anything new? Anyone you want to reach out to? Anything that's on your heart? This is your moment.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. I really want to thank you, Val. And I want to thank you, John, for having me on the show today. I've really enjoyed being on the show. And I thank you for doing what you're doing, exposing artists out there and playing music and exposing new people to the dance music sound. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that and keep on doing that. And I hope you continue to receive your blessings for really doing what you're doing. So I thank you for that. I want to tell people to please support Haiti. Those people truly, truly, truly need our help right now. They are our brothers and sisters on this in this world, and they really need our help. You know, they were a devastated land before this happened. Before this happened, you know. So we really need to be there. And I just want to thank everybody, you know, who always has supported Georgie, who has bought my records, who have played my records, the DJs, mix show, promoted them, the barbers of this world who promotes me to everybody, Harry Towers, and the list goes on of all the people who always have stood at my side and made things happen, Gina and Jimmy's, and there's so many people in my whole Music Plant family, G. Cavelli Project, Todd Miner, Richard Rogers, Hold On to Peace, and the list goes on. I want to thank all of those people who've supported. And as far as for Georgie, there's a new album in the works. I am working on a brand new album that's going to be coming out. New single should drop in a couple of months. And things are good. I mean, I'm very, very happy. And we keep moving forward, you know. We just keep on putting more records out. Always look out to musicplantrecords.com, musicplantrecords.com. And we'll give you updates on what's going on. And that's it. So we really, really keeping it going and keeping things happening with the company. And things are good. I'm really in a great place. So I have no complaints other than, please, people, support Haiti.
Okay. Thank you, Georgie. John, do you have any parting questions or parting question for him?
Well, you know, Georgie, it seems that house music originated in Chicago. The blues are in Chicago. What is it in Chicago that makes it such a hot spot for such great, great original music?
It is the soul of the city. There's a great feeling here. People who come here from everywhere, they always, when they come here, there's a feeling that they leave with. There's a feeling within the city, and I think the city's soul. And because I believe every country, every city has a feel, a soul. You can get to it, and that's why people, you know, when they go to Italy, they feel this romance come over them, whatever. There's a soul to it. And there's a deep-rooted music soul here that has brought a lot of wonderful music, different types of genres through here. You know what I mean? You remember, at one point, the music industry was here. They were all here. Well, we have our Printers Row right now. They were all here. If you really go back, Chess Records, all the big, big ones were all down here, downtown in Chicago. They left and went to New York because our mayor back then, whoever it was, chased them out, tried to tax them too hard, so they went to the East Coast. But they were all here because the music is originated from here. I mean, that's why we've been able to give you so many, if you stop to think of it, the Chaka Khan, the Jennifer Hudsons. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. They've all come from here. So there's a soul to this place. There's a music soul to Chicago, and I think that's what it's given the world, the music.
Okay, great. Thank you, Georgie. And now it's time to close out this segment of Sunday Brunch, the first and last song. So I'm going to ask you the last question of the day, which is, what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth, if you have one?
Wow. Amazing Grace.
And why that song? Why that one?
Because if it I'm going out, let me go out peaceful. Because that song is a great peacekeeper. From beginning to end, that song speaks nothing but peace. And you know, it would really wrap up what I've tried to make sure that people have under this world, which is to hold on to peace, no matter what, no matter how. And I take that mantra from a friend of mine named Richard Rogers.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful song. And I want to let people know also that if you go to Creator's Parrot blog, which you can access from the profile page here on Blog Talk Radio, there's a link that will take you there. And there's one for you to listen to a playlist of people's last songs that they've chosen, people that have decided that they want to be booked on the show. There are some fans of EJ Flavors from his Facebook page that posted the last song on Earth that they would like to hear, the last song before they leave to Earth. And it's quite an interesting mix. So, and Amazing Grace is on that list as well. And it's a version being sung by Aretha Franklin at a gospel fest. So, Georgie, thank you so much again for being here. And, John, thank you for your participation today as well. And we're going to end with another song by you, Georgie. And let's see which one I've got queued up here. I've got Love Is Gonna Save the Day.
There you go. Now, that's a song to end on.
Okay.
That is right there.
Thank you. You take care.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you to everybody. John, have a wonderful day, Val. You too. You have a great day. And thank you again for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Here we go. Love Is Gonna Save the Day.
Take it away.
That was Georgie Porgy with Love Is Gonna Save the Day. Thanks again, Georgie, for being on the show. Now, this is Val Oliver, and you're listening to Sunday Brunch, the first and last song. And we've just finished with part one of our special show today about awards. And actually, John, you still there?
I am here. And in fact, because this is my first two-hour show, I made sure I have all the supplies, so I'm rehydrated, ready to go, and the ice packs worked.
Well, great. Listen, I've got a cup of special tea right here, you know, with me that I'm sipping on as well, you know, something to make me feel warm and cozy and good. And I want to now say my regular co-host, Neil Alexander, isn't here. He's a musician, and he had to go on a gig today. And what Neil has done is he's created a very special podcast so that I won't feel so lonely and to share something with our listeners today. So what I'm going to do now, John, is I'm going to go to this podcast from Neil, and then when we come back, we'll check in again with you, those of you who are listening. And let me give the calling number again. It's 347-202-0238. And also when we come back, we hope to have EJ Flavors, what a name, and Doug Ramsey, Fresh, aka Fresh. And these guys are official bloggers for the 52nd Annual Grammy Awards. Isn't that something? Okay, so let's go to the podcast from Neil, and then we'll be back.
Greetings all, this is Neil Alexander, a.k.a. The Nail, with the official Nails Collage podcast as part of the Creators Parrot channel on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Okay, so here we are in the studio. I'm doing the podcast this week because I'm usually co-hosting the show, but in fact, as a working musician, sometimes we have to go to work, usually on weekends. So I, while you're listening to this, I'm off somewhere performing and earning a living, because that's what I do. Anyway, we thought we'd talk a minute about what's happening in my world of music. My world of music being Orange County, New York, Hudson Valley, New York City area, etc., etc. Now, some of you may know, or perhaps didn't know, that for 10 years, from 1996 to 2006, I was in a very interesting band called The Machine, which is a Pink Floyd tribute act, still performing. Great band. Go see them if you get the chance. The only reason I mention this is because, in keeping with the theme of the show, the first and the last, the Pink Floyd album, The Dark Side of the Moon, some of you may have heard of this, was actually the inspiration for me becoming a musician at all in the first place. The record came out when I was about 13 years old, and for those of you keeping score at home, you can figure out how old I am from that little tidbit of information. And it kind of started me on this path where I decided that this is what I was going to do with my life. I was going to make sound and record records and do all these things. And here we are, I don't know how many years later, still at it. Once again, my name is Neil Alexander, a.k.a. The Nail, and this is the first installment of what I think I'm going to call Nails Collage. Anyway, we're taking it back to Val Oliver in the studio on the Sunday Brunch Show here at the Creators Parrot Channel on blogtalkradio.com. We'll see you live in 2 weeks. Thanks. Bye.
This is Val Oliver and guest host John Hansen. Again, this is Sunday Brunch, the first and last song. We always ask, what is the first song you remember hearing or something related to a first song or a first sound of all our interview guests? And the last question is always, what is the last song you want to hear before your life ends here on Earth? And again, I want to give the call-in number, which is area code 347-202-0238. I also want to direct people to the profile page for Creator's Parrot. There is a list of links there for you to explore some things today. The Creator's Parrot blog that has music playlists on it and other updates and news about Creator's Parrot. Also, if you're interested in becoming a guest on the show, there's a link that says Creator's Parrot guest booking. You can use that link. Also, there's a link for Creator's Parrot support network. And I want to thank you, John, as a guest host. You're considered a contributor to the Creator Parrot support network. And I also want to thank Eleonora Amendolara of Sacred Center, who's also a contributor and helped to bring this show to everyone today. And so please, when you get a chance, go and take a look at Creator's Parrot Support Network. And it would be great if you could support our supporters. Also, I wanted to let you know one more time that if you listened to the beginning of the show, you heard a dedication to Haiti. And the song Heal This Land was the song that was used as a dedication by Tina Malia. Support Tina. Go to the links and click on Heal This Land. That will take you to CD Baby, where you can purchase that, download it, or the whole album that song is on. And also, I want to let you know about Last Songs Playlist, Volume 1. Already there's a compilation of songs that people have indicated is the last song that they would like to hear before their life ends here on Earth. And so there's a playlist of those songs, and certainly take a listen to them. And also I forgot to say this earlier, all of the music, all of the energy, all of the calls, everything that happens on this show is dedicated to the Reach for Freedom project, Reach for Freedom from Child Abuse and Neglect. It's a personal music project of mine. I'm not going to go deeply into it now. I talked about it a little last week during the intro show. And click the link, and you can learn a lot more about it from going to the blog page for it. And, John, at this point, would you like to say something about some of the activities that you're involved in, your blogs and so forth?
Well, you know, Val, it's interesting. I just this past week released my second book, called What Are You Waiting For? So Act Already. And the title is focusing on a social network called So Act that is geared towards the very issues of change that require our attention that you just referred to with Reach for Freedom. And in fact, 10% of all proceeds from the sale of the book are being donated to a Haitian relief fund through the So Act network. So check that out. It's exciting. Certainly on there, and it's on the heels actually of my first book, which is tied to Blog Talk Radio, interestingly enough, called Your Show Will Go Live in 5 Seconds. And Val, you'll appreciate this. As a host, you know that proper British lady's voice comes on the air just for we're ready to go live. It says your show will go live in 5 seconds. Well, that's what it's based on. It really gives a great inside view of Blog Talk Radio for those who are looking to enter the realms and understand what it takes to do a show, how to bring guests, how to really structure the promotion of it, something that Val, you obviously do very well. You know, those are pretty exciting things, those latest two books that we have going. If you want to know anything about the show that I host, the PI Window on Business, great thing. All you have to do is go into any search engine, type PI Window on Business, and we always come up first. In fact, we dominate pretty much the first page. So that's where you'll find us there, as well as another access point to these books.
Okay, and I'd also just like to let people know, thank you, John, that I have created a list of links for this particular show today that you can access from a Creators Parrot blog, and that's creatorsparrot.blogspot.com, or you can link to it through the page for Creators Parrot that the show is running from, and that link is called Sunday Brunch Program, January 24th. Web, blog, and social media list. And in that list are all the links for EJ Flavors, for Georgie Porgy, for Doug Ramsey, and for John Hansen. So I tried to set those up for you ahead of time. Also, there's links for Neil Alexander and for myself, Valerie Michelle Oliver, the host and producer. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to move along to the second part of the show, in which we are featuring two of the official bloggers for the 52nd Annual Grammy Awards that is coming up next weekend. And let's see, those two people are EJ Flavors and Doug Ramsey, also known as Fresh, and both of them are on the line right now. And guys, you there? Can you hear me?
This is Doug Val. I hear you fine.
Hi, Doug.
Hi.
And this is EJ. I hear you just fine.
Hi, EJ. Welcome, guys. And let me introduce you to John Henson. Hanson?
Yes.
Hi,
hello. Hi, EJ. I'm fine. And Doug, welcome. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great. Well, great. Now, actually, what I'm going to do is normally I would just ask, you know, what is the first song you remember hearing, guys? And EJ not only answered the question, but he sent the music as well. So I've uploaded a file of the song to the answer, what is the first song you remember hearing? And I don't remember right now, EJ, if this is the very first song, or can you just set this up for us before I go into the music, and then we'll come back.
Sure. I think when I was young, I remember hearing lots and lots of music from my mom and my pop. And you know, it was impossible for me to say, okay, well, I remember this one first, because I can give you dozens of Stevie Wonder songs, dozens of Donny Hathaway songs, things like that. But I do remember when they got my first record player, and the very first record that was being played on my record player was Dennis Coffey's Scorpio, which is an instrumental, which I thought was fantastic at the time, and it got me wanting to, you know, get into instrumentation, especially with the drums. So that's why that was the song I chose.
Okay, great. Well, here we go. Let's take a listen to it.
Thank you.
Whoa, wonderful tune, EJ. That takes me back. You know, I am in a good way, in a very good way. Now, I am on the Amazon.com site right now to let people know if you want to pick that up. It's on an album called Big City Funk, Original Old School Breaks and Heavy Guitar Soul, and there's a photo of Dennis Coffrey on it. You know, it's funny. I thought Dennis Coffrey was an African-American guy.
Right.
And he's not. He's
right.
Like totally Caucasian with this long blonde hair, and just not what I expected.
Yeah, it was a bit amazing to me as well.
Okay, so we're talking again with EJ Flavors and Doug Ramsey, official bloggers for the 52nd annual Grammy Awards, and it's time for the first question for Doug. You want to take this one, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Doug, you know, much as Val was saying, and looking at the history of jazz, and I mean, it goes way back, and it's really hard to define it, isn't it? What was the first song that you remember that sort of put you on that path of really liking this music? Was it within that realm or genre, or was it something else that triggered it? And what is that first song?
Well, the first song, actually, that I remember hearing had nothing to do with jazz, because I really got interested in listening to jazz in sort of a strange way. But let's stay on track. Let me see if I can answer the first song. I grew up in the New York, New Jersey area. And I grew up not only listening to a lot of music within the house. My family is actually from the island of Jamaica, so I've heard a lot of reggae in the house growing up and calypso and what have you. But being raised as an American, if you will, born in the States, I listened to a lot of commercial radio. And in the tri-state area, there was a very popular station, I believe is still on, called WABC, which was more so of a pop station as opposed to urban contemporary, as they call it today. And I think one of the first songs I remember in terms of listening to the radio, which has there's a segue to that as well, since I'm a musician, but one of the first songs I remember hearing was Chicago's Does Anybody Know What Time It Is? And I fell in love with that song because of the whole arrangement of it, the instrumentation, the vocals. That really kind of triggered me into listening to a variety of different music. Although growing up, I began playing guitar when I was 14 and was playing in a couple neighborhood bands here and there. But that's one of the first songs I remember hearing. One of the first songs that I owned that I would remember listening to, kind of along the lines of EJ's story, was the Ohio Players Love Roller Coaster. There was a ton of 45s, including Dennis Coffey's Scorpio, and 33s in my house, because that was way before the advent of CDs. So to answer your question in terms of the first song, I'd probably have to go with that Chicago tune, which I incidentally heard on WABC. In terms of listening to jazz, in high school, between the years of 76 and 80, I was playing in our high school jazz ensemble, which not only included orchestral type instruments, but guitar and bass as well. So I think that was my first foray or listening into jazz. But around that time, I had contracted mononucleosis, and I was laid up in bed for a couple weeks. And there's a very popular jazz station in the New Jersey area, Newark, for example, called WBGO. And that was my first taste of listening regularly, since I could not do anything but lay in bed, to classical jazz, if you will. So that's my kind of introduction into jazz back in the late 70s.
Now, let's see, what do I want to know next from you guys? Ah, okay, yes, as the guys who are the official Grammy bloggers, how did that happen? Because I didn't have a chance to talk to either one of you before today to find out exactly what was that process like. How did you get to become the quote-unquote official Grammy bloggers?
EJ, you want to kick that off?
I think I was very fortunate to be contacted by a lady named Beverly Jackson, and it was kind of odd how that happened. We ended up being on Twitter together, And I think just blogging about music as much as I did and as, you know, as much tutoring as I did about music, I think that, you know, sparked Bev to say, you know, why don't you guys, you know, kind of be, responsible or, you know, kind of Twitter or, you know, blog about the Grammy Awards. We thought it was a great idea. Doug, you want to get more into that? Or?
Yeah, sure, I'll add to that, EJ. From what I understand, speaking to Bev, last year I was involved in the Grammys, how should I put it, forging social media with the Grammys, annual Grammy celebration. I was involved in that with a number of other bloggers who were on Twitter by providing podcasts about the nominees. And that apparently went over very well. This year, EJ was exactly right. You know, Bev Jackson is a very dynamic part of the Grammy organization and has spearheaded many social media efforts long before this particular brainchild of hers. But EJ was right. She had went on the net and contacted people who were passionate about the music, that write well, that have a following, that have been doing this for a while. And she decided via the rest of the organization that they really wanted to leverage social network. And what she wanted to do was kick it up a notch, so to speak, and have people who are passionate about jazz and in the other genres sort of be the official representation of the social media world in blogging about the nominees this year. And that's how we got involved. She basically went out and collected a bunch of people who she thought would fit the bill, got us together. We had a couple of telecons before that, and she gave us our marching orders, and we've been pretty much doing it ever since.
Oh, great. Now, Doug, I know that could you tell us a little bit more about yourself as a professional? We already know that you're a podcaster, but you're also a musician. You're also an artist. So tell us a little bit about your career and what you do. And you also work full-time, is that correct?
Yeah, that's really what my career is. I work full-time in the arena of software development and requirements management for a private company that does work with the Department of Defense. So that's my 9-to-5 day job. Kind of segueing backwards a little bit, I've been involved in music since I was 14 and playing guitar in various bands, doing various session dates and recording. So I've been doing it for the past 30 years in terms of music per se. Podcasting, I was just explaining this to someone else. When I entered college, I decided that I wanted to, at the request of a couple people, try out radio. And at least in my school, my university, and I'm sure this goes well for many universities, you had to train on the – we were fortunate enough to have an AM as well as an FM station. And you had to train on AM first. Well, I was never a fan of AM because of the technology, and I said, well, I want to jump straight to FM. And they're like, you're nobody special. You got to train on AM first. So I decided not to pursue that. And over the years, after talking to people, they were like, yeah, you sound like you have a radio voice. You should do radio. And I said, I just don't have the time to do that. I'm out of school. I'm working. You know, a family started, blah, 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 the whole bit. As I was explaining to someone earlier, enter the Internet and social media, and now it makes it easy to jump into that realm of quote-unquote radio through the means of doing podcasting. EJ Flavors is a pro at this, so I bow to him. We call him the sensei, by the way. So I'll prop him up right there. But the bottom line is that's kind of my both sides of the coin for me. Technically, my career is in the arena of software development, but on the side, my passion is music. And as of the last 2 years, the Sunday Soundtrack this past December was 2 years old. So it's been podcasting, and I'm learning a lot from, on a serious note, I'm learning a lot from people who have done it for a while, like EJ and a couple of other people in our music podcast consortium. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Now, John, did you have any questions? Because I wanted to go to at least one of the Grammy-nominated songs, you know, and have EJ set up the song I'm going to play, and then have Doug set up the second song and play them back to back. So if you have a question, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Doug and EJ, because I think I mentioned EJ on your blog when I visited. You've been doing this since 2002, which would have to make you one of the original bloggers, so to speak. But social media is changing, isn't it? I mean, you know, they're talking about citizen journalism. They're talking about having it accessible to more and more people. So from your perspective, starting with you, EJ, from 2002 to where we are today, what has been the most significant difference in terms of communicating through the podcasting, through blogging, through all the emerging social media, where it's no longer – the dissemination of information is no longer narrowly or artificially confined, but it's actually broadening out? What's the biggest difference?
I think the way it started out for me, basically, and, you know, I'll segue into that, was, you know, starting off as writing and then starting to hear more of songs and audio of, you know, people expressing themselves through the Internet that way. And so I said, well, let me go ahead and say, these are the songs I'm listening to. This is what I like to do. And as that kept going on, you know, at first I thought, well, you know, people aren't going to really care about this. It's just, you know, what's in my mind. And it may be all over the place. And I started getting a lot of, you know, positive feedback from that and saying, you know what, I really want to thank you for that. This is the stuff that we listen to as well and the stuff that we, you know, are just hearing for the first time. So it started sparking off, you know, people looking for music and people, you know, starting to listen more into just tracks. And then I got into podcasting by saying, you know, let me try this out one time. I'm sure I won't be, you know, successful, but it's going to be what I like to do. And started listening to more podcasts. And it sounded like people said, you know, if we just express what we like the best, get more into that, it would expose us and expose the world into not only just what you hear on the radio or just what you hear on talk radio, but, you know, it expresses your mind. So it let people be a little bit freer with that, and it did the same thing with me. I think the more and more I got into podcasting, the more and more I said, you know what, I'm not afraid to, you know, step my foot out just a little bit, because this is really, really what I want to hear. It may not be, you know, straight up R&B. It may not be straight up jazz. It may be, you know, amalgamation of it all. So I think that's what happened. I think people started to say, you know what, it's okay to broaden your mind, because there is, you know, there's not a wall. There's not a ceiling. If you keep going, you know, eventually someone will listen to what you like, and, you know, that'll keep progressing on. And I think that's what's been happening.
Well, you know, and Doug, if I could turn to you, sorry, Vel, but just,
like,
you know, there's this new service, new network, if you call it, called Blip FM. I don't know if you're familiar with it, BLIP.FM. And, you know, it's an interesting venue because you get to be your own DJ and share music and comments, and you can pick your favorites and everything like that. I mean, is that really where the future of traditional radio is heading, so to speak? And I mean, what does that mean in terms of the more traditional realms in your mind of the way in which music is shared and disseminated? Because certainly, as EJ said, it's given you greater exposure to a wider variety of music that you were sort of confined to by listening to a particular station. Here you've got a much broader range. How much of a force is that going to be?
I think it's going to be a tremendous force, and I think you and you just now, as well as EJ, pretty much hit it on the head. The key word here is freedom. Right now, Blip FM, Tweet My Song, and Last FM, boy, the list goes on, Pandora. Yeah, I think one of the forerunners was Live 365. Anyone you look at, they pretty much to the same focal point, and that is it allows the user or the creator, if you will, in this respect, total freedom of choice. They can share what they like, and I know Last FM kind of does, for lack of a better phrase, an aggregation of similar tastes and similar listeners. So now not only are you able to put out there what you like, but then you find those listen to what you're putting out, and they may have a similar interest as well. And before you know it, you have a whole list of people who are of like minds in terms of the type of music they like to listen to. So now you're developing a network almost instantaneously. So I think not only in terms of radio as we know it, commercial radio, but that is a direct correlation to the music industry as a whole. The internet has now, as they have said and I have heard, leveled the playing field. So it's, I think it's just taking off.
That's true.
No, go ahead.
That's all right. I was just going to do, let's do a hand count now of how many of us are Blip FM DJs. My hand is up.
My hand is up as well.
Mine too.
Oh, great.
Oh, definitely.
Yep. Well, there you go. Is that 100%?
There you go.
100%.
I think that's a good representation of where it's going.
Okay, John, if you...
I will have to say this. I do play the occasional Dean Martin and Tom Jones song, so I'm not sure if I qualify as a cool DJ.
Well, that's cool. I love Tom Jones. And
I remember watching Tom Jones growing up.
It's not unusual. Okay.
That's still one of my theme songs.
Well, speaking of songs and Grammy-nominated songs and Grammys, I'm going to go ahead and play one of the R&B nominations. Let's see. For EJ, I've got Foreign Exchange, Daykeeper. And for you, Doug, or Fresh, I have Tanktified. EJ, do you want to say anything about this song, Daykeeper? And then you, Doug, about Tanktified?
Sure. EJ?
Yeah, I want to say that, where do I start with that one? Foreign Exchange happens to be one of, in my opinion, the greatest groups to come out in quite some time. And I have been a very big fan of theirs since their first album, Connected. And just them being nominated for Grammys for, you know, Leave It All Behind, this track, Daykeeper, was one of those songs that made me stop and just zone out for about 5 minutes. And then play it continuously for the next 30. I mean, it's one of those songs that's incredible to me, and I'm so glad that they were nominated for this.
Okay. And, Doug, you want to say something about Tanktified?
Tanktified is a track off of Stephon Harris's and Blackout's latest CD, which was, I believe, written by the drummer. And I particularly like that song a lot because I've been following Stephon Harris for some time now, and I was quite pleased to see that Blackout has been chosen for a nominee in the jazz category area. The song is, I just particularly like the song because it bridges a lot of contemporary styles beyond what we tend to call smooth jazz into the song, but the song itself, because it has the classic jazz instrumentation using the vibraphone. That song just kind of stood out to me. The whole album is, if you will, CD, if I'm dating myself, is great. And I decided to choose that one because that one kind of stood out to me in terms of how the drummer wrote the song and penned it. So that's basically it for that track.
Okay, thank you, Doug. So we're going to go to EJ's pick, which is A Daykeeper by Foreign Exchange, and then we're going to go to Tanktified. And I just want to say, Tank Divide's a bit of a long track, so I may have to cut it off a little bit earlier just to give you a heads up on that so we have more time to talk with you gentlemen.
Not a problem.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. So is everybody there?
I'm here.
Yes, I'm here.
How I got kicked off here. I'm not sure how that happened. Okay, I'm back. And I still am having some feedback on here, so if I sound a little strange to myself, and I'm not sure why. But that sounds like some great music there. Do you guys have anyone in mind that you would like to win a Grammy?
Well, for me, I'm partial to Stephon Harris's group. I like what has been done on this particular release. This particular release, to me, is receiving, I guess, from the entire world of jazz, mixed reviews, if you will. But personally, to make a long story short, I've listened to the whole CD, and I've looked at the other nominees as well. in this particular category, and I'm fancy to that.
Well, you know, one of the things you mentioned in your January 19th blog post, and you're talking about Stephon Harris, and the Los Angeles Times referred to that article where they're saying he's one of the most important young artists in jazz and someone who's at the forefront of the New York music. I guess it's a two-part question if I could ask you. The first is what is the new New York music, and what makes that type of accolade? Because that's a heavy accolade there, isn't it? As to he's one of the most important young artists. Why is that?
Well, in terms of the term New York music, that's actually, if I may say so, that's something that I'm not thoroughly familiar with, but I could probably better answer the second part of the question. And I think that jazz, obviously, with a lot of other genres, but especially, I would say, to me, in my listening range, jazz and hip-hop have taken a tremendous journey of evolution, if you will. And I would particularly say that Stephon Harris is court music now because of the elements he's bringing into jazz music. He was quoted in an article by saying this: jazz is incredibly pliable. Our music is about the here and now. It's not about the past. People think that we're mixing jazz and hip-hop, but I think this is what jazz is now. My music is indicative of my generation. And I think in order for jazz to continue to live, not only in the hearts of older listeners who are coming from its quote-unquote great days, I think in order to keep jazz pliable and alive, it's going to have to reach out to our younger listeners. And as a fan of jazz, even with the older elements as well as the newer elements, I'm hoping that to be the case because it is the backbone, I believe, of American music.
It's interesting you say that, and it's kind of exciting because I was doing some research, and they link jazz going back to ragtime popularity in 1897 to 1918 with its origins in St. Louis and New Orleans.
Right.
But there was, and I hope I'm saying his name right, Joachim Ernst Behrendt, who was a German music journalist, and he said the problem is that everyone tries to too narrowly define jazz, and that's not the way it should be, and Travis Jackson shared those same sentiments, and that's what you're really saying, is you can't really pigeonhole it because it has a ubiquity to it, doesn't it?
I don't think it could. I don't think jazz can be pigeonholed at this point either. I think there's underpinnings of jazz in terms of meters, in terms of chord progressions, in terms of style and feel, that people would automatically say, okay, that's jazz. Another thing that that jazz is noted for by probably more of a variety of listeners than not, and I've heard this in various contexts, and I can see why it's said, jazz is complex to listen to. Let's take Tanctified. I believe that song, it sounds to me, was written in a time signature of 7/8. It's not something that's easily identifiable or easily grasped upon like a standard 4/4 heartbeat beat, if you will. It takes a little bit of a listening and concentration to kind of stay with the song. But that's been jazz all along because of its history. So I would tend to agree with you 100%. I don't know if it could be actually pigeonholed or pinpointed for lack of a better phrase in terms of this is what defines jazz. I think it still has a foundation that is recognizable from decades, centuries gone back, if you will, but it's widening, I think.
Okay, great. Thank you for that answer. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you, Val.
Oh, great. Sorry I got kicked off. We got about less than a minute left, so I want to thank you both for being a guest today, EJ, and also to Doug, and also for you for guest hosting, John. As I say, we have less than a minute. Can we get your, last songs that you'd like to hear before you leave this earth? Why don't you go ahead, Doug?
Okay, I think in a quick 30 seconds or less, I'm going to have to say the definitive Amazing Grace.
Okay, and what about you, EJ?
I chose Leaving for a Dream by Heatwave because of the lyricism. just got.
Okay, great. Listen, we got 12 seconds left. Listen, guys, have a great time at the Grammys. This is Val Oliver. This is Sunday Brunch, and we're out for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.